we went through January with a fast, got direction. We are having God chart our course for us and give us direction. Amen. Some of the things that I saw was necessary is finding out who we are in Christ in order for us to get there and be functional when we do. Amen. We're talking about being the righteousness of God and some things like this. Last week we were looking at preparation. So what? Something else we have coming up that I want everybody to get on board with is we're going to be having an outdoor Easter service. It's the 31st, right? An outdoor Easter service that we have an opportunity to light, be lights, be shining, and make a difference. And so I'm desiring for us to be prepared for that. Amen? And we looked last week, it's necessary for us to identify with who we are in Christ in order to get rid of things that would not make him presentable through us. So that when we present Jesus, it's coming from an authentic transformation in me. Amen? Otherwise, it's really hard to sell something that you're not living. Amen? All right. So what I want to look at just a little bit more in this preparation thing is we were looking at how we need to see ourselves in all the things that we are in Christ, and we gave ourselves something in the app here where you can go through and you can make some declarations about who you are already. How many know that you are already have a heart of love? Might not look like it to somebody else in your life, but it's already there that you need revelation of it. And then you need to embrace it and identify with it. Amen? So you can't become something that you aren't aware of. That's why we've been given the Word of God. We can find out who we are in Christ. Amen? And all that nasty stuff that's the old man, it continues to be removed from us as we identify with who we are in Him. Amen? And it's a necessary part. The grace of God is amazing. He will save somebody because they hear the truth of God's word. Amen? But we want to be presenting it from a vessel that's a vessel of honor. I want to go a little further with this, though. And I used an example last week of going out to eat at a really nice place, and they bring you the real fancy meal, but the plate's not clean. The glasses aren't clean. It doesn't matter how good the meal is if the vessels aren't clean. And relating that to who we are and how in the presentation of Christ we need to be consecrated. We need to be right before God. Amen? So that we can be effective. Man, I see this. I see this right now, and I speak it over our body. When we show up on Easter Sunday morning, we are one in the Spirit. There's not divisions. We're not in strife. We're loving each other. And there's a light shining down through us. Amen? That people are in need of this. I just want to say real quick, we have this thing going on right now where a texting service allows us to connect with people that have needs. And if anybody wants to let me know if you're interested in helping out with this, it's a real opportunity that came to us. They're offering it to us for free. But I have an app on my phone. I get a text. I just got one just a little bit earlier today, just asking for prayer. But people can ask for, a lot of people have anxiety. There's a 17-year-old boy that his best friend passed away, got killed in a car wreck, and he's not able to get over it, you know. And it's like people are going through things, you know, and we have the answer. And it's almost really wrong of us to not be ready to give him the answer. Even though we have it, we still need to be ready. Amen? So, I want to continue with my little going out to eat analogy. Is that all right? And I used a little bit of tipping analogy already today with tithing, right? But let's look at it. So what happens when you, how many like to go out to eat? And, you know, you can go to McDonald's and you go up to the counter. We went to McDonald's yesterday, and usually they're pretty quick. But, man, sometimes the service at McDonald's was just, we were trying to get home. We were coming back from Louisiana, and we thought, we'll just stop in at McDonald's and get it real quick. And so 30 minutes later, it's like, We were waiting. Service is very important too, isn't it? It's not just the vessels, it's the service. And how is that communicated to you? You know, you can go to some place, even a nice place, and they can be doing everything. Don't you like it when they come and they take your fork as soon as you get done with it and they put a fresh one down, and you know, and your glass is never empty, you know. You never have to ask for anything. They're watching you, aren't they? You know what they're doing? They're waiting on you, right? And they're also waiting on what you're going to leave there when you go, I'm sure, the tip. But have you ever found somebody that it's not just serving that they're doing? They're not just taking care of you. They're not just introducing themselves and wanting to get a good tip from you. They have found what their life is rewarded by. Their heart is in it. Does anybody experience that? Where was it? We went just recently that it's like, man, this person is... Actually, we went to Chewy's. How many like Chewy's? And you know, Chewy's isn't like really fancy or anything. But man, we got this server. And he was just so... Oh, on my birthday, too, we went to breakfast once. And this girl... Don't you like it when they stand there and they start taking your order and not writing it down? It's like... I know, I get really nervous. We had a bad experience with that one time. It's like they really messed it up. But when they get it right and they're so polite and their heart is in it. It's like they're not just doing this for money. They actually care about you. You know what I mean? And you know, I really believe this is something that we need to have a revelation of and actually get involved with. Is God doesn't just want our actions. He doesn't just want our vessel to be pure and clean. He wants our heart to be connected with his heart. Amen? So let's go through some stuff here and just find out what God's heart is, what that'll look like for us, and maybe how we can be connected with him. Amen? So let's look at Jeremiah 24:7. Aren't you glad that the Father is passionate about us? That's what... They named a movie after it, right? The Passion, right? What is that? That wasn't just Jesus. Did you know Jesus was just doing the Father's heart? He was just laying down his life to fulfill the Father's heart. Oh, man, the Father loves us. If there's anything that you're going through, Jesus came to be that for you. Amen? So anyway, let's look at this. He wants to be our God, and I will give them a heart to know, recognize, understand, and be acquainted with what? Me. Man. So what's it take to know him? What's it take to be working with him? A heart. Amen? Not just information. It's going to take a heart. And you're going to have to be a little bit sappy, right? It's going to have to be something where you have a soft heart. Remember what happened with Pharaoh all the time? They would have all these plagues that happen, and Pharaoh would break down and say, okay, I guess you can go. And then what would happen? His heart got hard, right? Did you know that happened to Israel too? They got out in the wilderness. God delivered them. And what did it say? They hardened their heart. They got right up to the promised land. They said, God can't do it. He took us out of Egypt. He took us across the sea. But he can't take us. What happened? You can't know God without having a soft heart. Amen? And so you're just going to have to be pursued. Okay. That they can, I'll give them a heart, though. Isn't that cool? He said, oh, that's all I need? And he's going to give it to me? Wow, we got it made, right? That I am the Lord, and they will be my people. Man, how many want to be God's peep? You know? Now, it doesn't mean anything to somebody that doesn't know God. But man, he is the Almighty. He's the creator of the universe. And he says, I want you to be my peep. and I will be your God, for they will return to me with what? Their whole heart. He said, I'm going to give them their heart, and they're going to, what are they going to do with that heart? They're going to come to me with it. Amen? Oh, man, this is powerful. Are you good this morning?
Yeah.
Are you going to make it?
Yep.
All right. So let's go to Ephesians 3:17. So this is the heart of God. He said, I want to impart my heart because there's something that's going to need to be done. We don't just get involved in serving and showing up and because we're made to feel like we have to. Have you had somebody do it? I've had people serve me like that. It's like, I feel like they're just feeling like they have to do it. And it's like, yuck. And, you know, I've experienced that in the church before, you know. People are doing it because they feel like they have to or they're obligated and they wish they were somewhere else. A game's going to be on here pretty soon. It's like, you know. And God says, I want you to be my people and I want to be your God, but it's going to take your heart. Everything. All right, Ephesians 3:17. In Christ's heart is strong passion and love. How many know that Jesus really liked being with his Father? Remember even when he was a little kid, he said, I have to be about my Father's business. Why? Because he spent so much time with his Father that he got his Father's passion. You can't get the heart of the Father without being with him, without hearing what he says. Amen. Okay, Ephesians 3:17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. So how many believe Jesus had the Father's heart? He did, didn't he? I mean, you found that out in the garden. He said, not my will, but your will. My heart's going to comply with your heart. What you need to be, and when we say heart, what are we saying? Not just wishy-washy love, but a heart is actually a purpose, an intent, an accomplishment that's needing to be accomplished, right? All right. Then Christ will make his home in your heart. So if Christ has the Father's heart, this is how that prophecy is being fulfilled. Can you see that? We just saw that in Jeremiah 24:7. He said, I'm going to give them a heart. How's he given us a heart in Christ? This is what we've gotten in Christ, is the heart of God. He's come to live inside of us. As you trust in him, there's a need to be trusting. Your hearts will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Isn't that cool? That just because my heart has been hard in the past, it doesn't have to be. I can allow it by the Holy Spirit to be softened and to take on the very nature, the very passion. This is what's really cool, is God didn't just love so that we can be impressed with his love. He loves so that what? We can love. Amen? All right, let's look at John 2:17. So what does that do? What happens in that heart where Jesus comes to abide? There becomes a zeal. How many use the word zeal very often? Zealous. That you're really, actually it's like being very passionate. You're very driven. Very moved. Right? What does that mean? If there's going to need to be something that's going to be done, I'm showing up to do it, right? Because I believe in a cause. John 2:17, and his disciples remembered. Okay, remember, this is a really cool story. It's like, Jesus never got mad. Yeah, he got mad. When did he get mad? When he went into what? His Father's house. And he saw it being used to market. Why did that get him so roused up? It's because he knew his Father. He knew the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father was for people. It wasn't just to make things for profit, right? Why did it make such a difference to Jesus? Because he knew his Father's heart so well. And it caused him to be unnerved by this stuff. And his disciples remembered that it is written in the Holy Scriptures zeal, the fervor of God, for your house will eat me up. Don't you like that? It's, and this is what passion. I like to refer to my wife, but you know, it's like that in a natural relationship. It's like something you can't get away from. It's eating you up. You have to respond to this drive, this passion that's on the inside, right? He said, "This is how I am for the house of my Father. I'm zealous for that. I will be consumed with jealousy for the honor of your house." God cares. It's not the building itself. It's the gathering that takes place here. Amen? And this is actually from Psalms. Isn't it interesting how David had such a heart after God that it's revealed in this? And he's actually prophesying what Jesus was going to do. But what was that prophecy? It was about the heart of being zealous for the things of God. All right? Let's look at the fervency, urgency. Listen, the things of God are what I'm going to be driven by. Right? John 9:4-5. Jesus is doing miracles. And he says, we must. This is interesting because if you look in the King James, it says, I must. And I looked at all the other translations and they say, we. Isn't that interesting? Because I thought, well, this is cool. He says, we're going to find out the heart of Jesus. I must work the works of him. Which is at a song that my sisters and I used to sing. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For when the night has come, the time for work will be done away. Would you be willing to work for Jesus every hour? Never, I forget the rest of it. Anyway, he's coming. You know, he could come right now. But if he doesn't come, our lives aren't that much longer. We don't have that much more functionality left in us. That's not a doubt statement. That's actuality. We only have so much time to work. And we only have so much time to work, and we only have certain windows of influence that we can work in. We have certain occupations. We have certain relationships. And we're limited in those. And so it's important that we realize that we've been given something to do. And that was part of the heart of Jesus. So how many believe that God's passionate about giving us a new heart? He's given it to us in Christ. What do we have in Christ? We have a heart that's after the heart of God, right? Yeah. And it's to do what he's called us to do while we're here. Amen? We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. Don't you like it when Jesus says us? Jesus is saying us. That means we're together. Amen? Said, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You know what? You might as well, because we have overcome the world. Amen? He sees us together in him. Don't you like that? But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. You know what? I think we could say, while I am in the world. Because this is what God has assigned us to be. He said, you are the light in another place, right? So there needs to be this urgency that I can't wait until another time. I need to get on this right away. Amen? Yeah. Procrastination is the same as disobedience, right? That means we're going to have to get an adjustment that we've been given an assignment. Yeah. Isn't that what Jesus said? We must quickly carry out the task assigned us. Assigned us. Man, that is so cool. I have the same assignment as Jesus. Yeah. Amen? What? To be the light. All right, Mark 16:15. And this is him saying, I got to go, and so do you. You need to go too, right? And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Oh, You know what? We all different have different roles in this. You know, we might not be the one that gets up and speaks in front of somebody, but all of us communicate wherever we're at. We're either communicating the reality of a life that's been transformed. You know, to be transformed doesn't mean you become somebody else. It means you become everything that you were meant to be. And you have certain gifts and callings and certain things that you've been given to do. And your purpose isn't just for you. Your purpose is for the kingdom. Amen? And so I might not go into all the world, but you know what? My brother, I have a younger brother, an accident. He's 7 years younger than me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He wasn't as intentional as I was. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's way more favored than I ever was. It's like when we had my dad's memorial, I just let everybody know that I was by far the most loved. He might have been young. My brother might have been younger than me, but I got loved way more than he did because my father loves me and he disciplined me. But my brother, my father started going, he was a pastor, and he started going around the world. Man, he wanted to be a missionary and go to the Canary Islands, and God wouldn't send him because we have 5 kids. And then when he got rid of all of his kids, they wouldn't send him because he was too old. So he just went anyway and went all over the world, and especially to Nepal. But my brother's carried on that heart. He got that same heart, and he's going to unreached people groups all over the world. And actually, there's unreached people groups right here in America, you know? So we don't have to go very far. That unreached person might be right next door to us. It might be a person that we come across in the marketplace. And we're going to the world that's ours to touch. But it's an assignment. It's not an optional thing. So this is something we've been given. So I don't know about you, but for this to take place, there's going to have to be a heart adjustment. It's not a matter of doing that it's not something that we have to feel imposed upon to do. If you can get your heart connected with something, you will do what it takes to accomplish it. Once your heart gets into soccer, you're going to show up at the soccer game, right? I just had to hit JP. He's informing me. Until your heart's in it, though, you can be there and not be there. Yeah, right. But what have we been given in God? We've been given a heart. How many know the Lord today? Yeah. You've made Jesus your Lord. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You've been given a heart for a mission. Amen? Yes. Aren't you glad that somebody did that for us? Yes. Somebody reached out to us and we received that because of their faithfulness to do it. Let's look at Matthew 9:36. Y'all doing good? Yeah. So Jesus' heart was moved with compassion and prayer. You know what I thought was so precious about, remember Jesus having that conversation with Peter and Peter saying how much he loved him and all that stuff. This is before Jesus went to the cross. And Jesus knew what Peter was fixing to do. Peter's fixing to deny him 3 times, right? But what did Jesus do? That was so precious. He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but don't you like that? But I have prayed. Amen? That reveals a heart that says, I'm not just going to be mad at Peter because he's going to deny me. I already know he's going to, so I'm going to be mad at him now. No, I'm doing something. I love him. I'm praying. I'm going to be moved. I care about him. Amen. On this rock, I'm going to build a church. Not Peter, but you know, on the belief that Peter has and who he is, right? Let's read this. When he saw the vast crowds of people, Jesus' heart. So we're talking about heart, right? There's a necessity of a preparation in a heart for there to be a movement that's going to make a difference. Jesus' heart was deeply moved with compassion because they seemed weary and helpless like wandering sheep without a shepherd. He turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is huge and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to thrust out many more reapers to harvest his grain. What I saw here was kind of interesting. For the first time I saw this anyway, this was like, and you'll say, man, you just now saw that? I've been seeing it for a long time. Is Jesus is the greatest harvester ever, isn't he? I mean, you'd think, wow. He said, I'm sending you, but as you go, be moved by the need that is so much bigger than just you. Realize that this is going to require everybody. You know, we have a community here of some wonderful churches. And I encourage you on this Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, we're meeting at the football field. Come out and pray with us. There's a young lady, Amanda is her name. And not this Amanda, but man, God moved on her heart to give up her full-time job and just start. She walks and prays, and God put it on her heart that on 3/16 that we're going to have a community prayer time. And she's asked me to be one of the prayers on that. So I encourage you to come and pray with us. And she has it all figured out. Can you play that real quick? I have a video here. And this is kind of working just perfect here. Yeah. It has audio. That's all there is. Isn't that cool? That's enough. Let's go and be a part of this. Amen. But what's the significance of that? It's going to take more than us. Yes. Amen. And so he said, when you're looking out there, let your heart, instead of being, you know, I think we have to be careful when we're looking at the world around us today to proclaim how terrible it is all the time. You know what I mean? And to proclaim what Jesus came to do in it. Yes. And that when we pray, we're not praying the problem, we're praying the solution. We're praying the answer. Because the world is in need of us having a heart that's like Jesus. So what I'm wanting to point out here is this is the heart of Jesus. When he sees people, he doesn't see them as bad. He sees them as needing what he has to give. And Satan's wanting to sift them, but he's praying. And he's saying, I need you to do the same thing. So you get the heart of Jesus. What I'm wanting us to see is when we get the heart of Jesus, we're going to be moved to do what he did. To lay down our life to some extent, right? But to pray and to realize that when we pray, we're actually making a difference. But it's going to require this heart. Amen? Oh, I don't know about you, but I need to get in the presence of my Father and say, Father, touch my heart with what touches yours. Help me to be moved by what moves you. Amen. Help me to have compassion and not judgment. Oh, there's so many things that we can pass judgment on people that think that they're waking up. You know, and really they're just going to sleep is what they're doing. It's like you can become judgmental and you can, but there's an opportunity in this. Amen? To have the heart of our Father God because he's come to be in us in Christ. And to be able to be moved to do what he's, this assignment that we've been given. He said, I told you to go. Amen? And I need you to go. But while you're going, be praying. Don't just be praying for them. Be praying for the laborers. Let's be lifting each other up. Amen? Let's be lifting these other churches up. Let's be lifting up ministries. Not tearing them down. Not saying that we don't believe like they do, so we're against them. Amen? No, if they believe in Jesus, we're on the same team. Amen? And we have the same heart. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, us. Us. Amen? So what happens when you get your whole heart? That's what God wanted. He said, they're going to serve, return to me with their whole heart, right? What happens when you get your whole heart? Let's look at what this looks like. Serving with the whole heart is spreading. Romans 1:9. And Paul reveals his heart. Paul had a heart after God, didn't he? He found that on the road when he got knocked off his horse. But sometimes, man, God, why can't I get knocked off my horse? That would really help my heart a lot, I think. But, you know, but he's here right now. And we can receive from him right now. Amen. Romans 1:9. God knows how often I pray for you, Paul's talking. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God. And then he reveals his own heart. He says, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. Jesus went about everywhere doing good, healing everybody, preaching repentance. He said, if you turn, you can have salvation, right? He said, this is the same thing that Paul has. You get connected to God. This is one of the biggest things we need to be believing God for. A heart that's moved by what he's moved for. Amen? Because if our heart gets connected with his heart, these other things that are hang-ups, things that we're concerned about, they become small. We get hooked up with something that's actually big in him. Amen? And we already have his heart for it. Isn't this good? All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. So, having a heart is going to be moved to share it. Share the goodness of God. Amen? Christ's triumph in us is spreading. Oh, man, I like this. I like this verse anyway, but 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God. How many can say thanks be to God? Yeah. Oh, let's say it really loud. Thanks be to God. What does that mean? We already have something, right? Yes. He's already given us victory. For through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us so that now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. What is it about a sweet perfume? You know, my wife got me some cologne that came in the mail when we got in yesterday. And she said, it was advertised that this is the same as that real expensive stuff, which I don't understand how cologne could be so expensive, but it can be really expensive. And my wife took back my Christmas present to her because it was really expensive. Anyway, that's why I got it, because it was expensive. But anyway, she got me this stuff yesterday, and I've actually got it on right now. If I came by, you'd probably smell it. Why? Because I'm trying to put off an odor? No, because I already put it on. I put a little bit on yesterday, and I was upstairs. I walked up the stairs, and I didn't even realize. You don't even realize it once you've been odorized. It's just on you. It's just who you are. Right? And Braden says, what do you got on? I'm thinking, I don't know. What do I got on? He smelled it. I smelled it. That's what he said when he was little. But what's he saying? He said, the triumph of Christ over us. How many are grateful that God triumphed over us? There's so many things that are included in that. But he says the triumph of Christ over us causes us to walk around with this inevitable odor that draws people to him. What is that? That's the heart of God. Amen? That we actually care about people. We're not just serving them their meal. We actually care about them. Amen? Isn't that good? This is what we get in the triumph of Christ over us. We get this heart. Amen? And I'll tell you what. We can go through life and what did Jesus say? You can gain the whole world, but lose your soul. All the stuff that we can think that would make us happy, all the stuff, where you're going to get your real joy is by those tasks that we've been given, that assignment that we've been given with Christ, amen, to share the gospel. Man, if the gospel's been good to us, all you got to do is share it. Amen? All right. Can you take a couple more here? Boy, this is good, isn't it? To be immersed in Christ is to be inflamed with his purpose. Don't you like this? This is what John the Baptist was talking about. Remember, he's going around baptizing people to repentance. That was John's baptism in water, right? He said, but somebody's coming after me. Let me read it. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming sooner who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be a slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you. What does that mean? You're going to be immersed in this with Holy Spirit and with what?
Fire.
Yes. Does that sound like some motivation? Yes. That sounds like some fuel, doesn't it? Amen? It's going to touch every part of your being. This is the wonderful thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm so grateful that I don't have to depend on somebody's doctrine with regard to being filled with the Holy Ghost. I have an experience that you can't take away from me, right? I have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and what happens when that happens is it empowers you with something that you would not have otherwise. It does something to your heart. What was the purpose of having this heart? What did God say? That they will know me. What does the Holy Spirit come to do? Help us to know the Father. What did I say about Jesus and his ability to have the heart of the Father? It was because he knew the Father. The Holy Spirit's come to help us know the Father. Amen? Yeah. And the more you know the Father, the more you have his heart. Amen? So if we're needing to have his heart, I think we can admit, I have to have this heart, right? I've been given it in Christ. But what the Holy Spirit comes to do is to magnify that, to make it where I'm immersed in it. And anytime I feel like I'm slipping away a little bit, I can just go plunge in some more. Amen? That's why it says, and be being filled with the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? So that we can complete the task that we have while it's day. Because the night's coming when you can't work. Yeah. Amen? One more here. Acts 1:8. Knowing him produces a heart of urgency to tell. So the Holy Spirit's come to immerse us in the heart of God so that we can know him, right? What happens when that happens? It goes right back to what happens when you are passionate with God. You want to spread it. But when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right? This is the fulfillment of what John the Baptist said. When he comes on you, you will receive power to testify about me. You will receive that. What does that mean? That you're going to get a heart to do it. You don't just get power without a heart. No, you get what is that heart? It's going to have vision. It's going to have direction. It's going to have purpose to accomplish. Amen? And what is this? This is the heart of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Aren't you glad that you're a whoever? And you know that there's whole nations right now that are whoevers that have never heard. There's somebody in our neighborhood that's never heard. This young man that I've been texting, and you kind of have to be careful how you text. You don't hit him over the head with the scripture, you know. I said, do you know where you're going to be if you don't, you know, if you were to pass away yourself? And he said, well, I'd hope I'd go to heaven. I said, well, you can know for sure, you know. People don't know. They just kind of. Especially in America today, there's just a lot of wishing and hoping, and because hellfire and brimstone's gone away some time ago. And you know what? That you have to know the Lord. There's an end to all this, right? And we've been given the task of letting people know that. But how do we get out of our realm long enough? How do we get beyond this? We have this opportunity on the 31st to do a little same project that we have, but it needs to be a launching thing for us. Yes. Amen? Amen? Where we say, God, give us your heart. Yes. Give us your passion. Give us your desire. Take us out of just what can I get from you. Take us out of just the triumph of Christ for me, for the triumph of Christ through me. Amen. I get the heart of God. Now his passion's going to come through me. Is that right? You will receive power to testify about me with great effect. I like that translation. That means it's going to be effective when you do. Amen? I'll tell you what, this is something that we need to lay hold upon, is that when the Holy Spirit, we have a promise that the Holy Spirit's come to reside on the inside to be our guide, and he will give us things to say. Did you know that this morning this has not just been me? I will declare this right now. This has not just been me. I've prepared some things. God put some stuff in my heart. But I'll tell you what, right now, this is not me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking right now. God is taking what he's put in my heart, and he's magnifying it. And all I did was get up here and say, I think I'll start with this. And you open your mouth, and he fills it. Amen? You go up to somebody, you don't know what to say. Hello? And he'll fill up your mouth with what it needs to say. There's a confidence that you can have in that. Amen? If you are filled. If you are ensconced in the knowing of God. Amen? This is what we have right now. But what are we doing with what we have? It's kind of like I was looking at ice plunges. And I'm actually liking it a little bit, but my wife texts me that she you know, they're all over the place now, you know, ice pods. So she said, "What do you think about this?" And I'm looking to get like a deep freeze, you know, that I can modify into something where you just keep it cold, you know, whatnot. They actually do that, and she said, "No, you're not going to put a deep freeze on my back porch, you know, you're not going to be doing this." So anyway, I go home, and all of a sudden there's an ice pod laying on the kitchen counter there, you know. It's like, okay, we'll give it a go. And it's a cold pod. Okay, cold pod. There's so many different versions of these things. So now it's sitting on my back porch. And I actually got a chiller for my birthday for this thing. It's hard to get it cold enough. Anyway, and I got some big ice blocks and stuff. Anyway, it's sitting there. There's all kinds of things that it's supposed to do for you. It's supposed to increase your metabolism. It's supposed to help your joints, inflammation, all these kind of things it's supposed to do, but it does nothing until you get in it. And every time I get in it, I've got my watch here. I've got a news program or a sports thing sitting in there on my phone so I can be looking at something besides feeling the cold. And every time, I can go way longer than I thought once I get in. But it's just getting in. Now, God shouldn't be that way for us, but he's deep. He's wide. We just got to get in. I don't know how good an analogy that was, because nobody wants to get in the cold, Bob. But he's there available for us. And there's so many things that will come as a result of it. If we will just be full of his Spirit, amen, and not just full of it with our focus on us, but God, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Help me to see the world the way you see the world. Help me to see the people in the world that can be repulsive to us naturally and not be repulsed by them because they're not godly, but be moved to pray, moved to do. To do our part, whatever part that will be. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're not all called. There's some people like to get out on the corner with a bullhorn, you know? In fact, I saw somebody from England that just won some kind of case because they were telling me he couldn't do that. And he won this case in England. Because people are motivated that way. And people come to know. My dad did that. He would have street services, playing an accordion. He could play anything. And, but God has a place no matter whether it's on the street or praying. You know, when he got to the end, he didn't leave his house, but he had a whole spreadsheet of all the pastors, all the Assemblies of God pastors in the Rocky Mountain District, and he prayed for them every day. We have a purpose. We have a part in this. Amen. But we have to have the Father's heart. Amen. Did you know that the Father's here right now? Isn't he wonderful?